these are important points to understand. If you're going to know Jesus, knowing Jesus is knowing who He is. Matthew chapter 1, beginning of verse 18, says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together," that's talking about sexual intercourse, "before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." So Mary was pregnant without having sex. Verse 19, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily." Why? Well, he wasn't in on it yet. He didn't know what had happened. So he thought, Mary's pregnant, she's had to have sex with somebody, and I wasn't him. See? So it's, talk about logic, that's logical. But, verse 20, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." So therefore, Jesus was not conceived with a sinful nature. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. It was a supernatural. How many of you heard of the Immaculate Conception? That's not this. The Immaculate Conception is a fictional doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church that claims Mary was conceived without original sin. The Bible never says that. This is called the miraculous conception. Miraculous because here is a real account. It really happened. Jesus was conceived apart from sexual intercourse, without the sperm of a male. A miracle took place in the womb of Mary. And so read verse 21 with me. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Amen? He could only do that because he was not a sinner. He wasn't born with the sinful nature, and therefore he was as God in human form. He provided the infinite sacrifice needed to pay for the sins of the whole world. Anyone else created, anyone else, even if it was, as the Jehovah's Witnesses teach, Michael the Archangel, he couldn't die for anyone's sins other than possibly dying and having that made somehow respect his own. But Michael's a created being. His if he were to have been crucified on a stake like this, the way the Jehovah's Witnesses teach, it would have just been a finite sacrifice. You sinned against an infinite God. The price must be infinite. Therefore, the infinite God Himself came in the person of Jesus Christ, conceived without sin. Jesus was born without a sinful nature. His nature was perfectly good. Now, He was a normal baby. People love to ask these questions. I don't have the answers. It's going to be interesting to see what kind of answers we get when we talk to Jesus about it. Did Jesus cry? I'm sure He did. Jesus wept when He was, getting ready to raise Lazarus. I'm sure as a baby He cried. It's not a sin to cry. He was like any other baby. He was breastfed. He had his diaper changed. He grew up just like any other human baby, except this one didn't try to stick his finger in the light socket. This one didn't ignore his daddy when daddy said, "Don't play with that, son."
"Son, what did I say?"
Joseph never had to do that with Jesus. Yeah, he didn't count to three. Yeah. Jesus was the Holy God in human flesh. We call that the Incarnation. That's what the word incarnation designates, that God Himself came in the person of Jesus Christ. Look over at 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3, 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Now look there. It says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." What's it say? "God was manifest in the flesh." And it goes on to say, justified in the Spirit, etc. God was manifest in the flesh. unless you're reading the English substandard version. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifest in the flesh. Who? Doesn't say anything about God. Or the New International Perversion. Beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. Blah, 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 blah. He appeared in the flesh. That means nothing. Hello, look at me. I appeared in the flesh. Oh, you know, means nothing. But Jesus was God in flesh. That verse, the way it's perverted, fits the Mormons, fits the Jehovah's Witnesses, fits the whole New Age movement. Jesus was God in human flesh. His flesh was morally good. Jesus never did a thing with His flesh that was sinful. Last Temptation of Christ and some of those perverted movies, don't bother watching them. They just infect your mind with blasphemy. Yeah, that's what it's done to a lot of people, I think. And Jesus was perfect in life. He was sinless. It's called sinlessness. Say that with me. Sinlessness. Why did I have you say that? Because it's fun. Look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Like syllogism. Those are fun words. Like a Bob Ross word. Amen. Happy words. Fun to say. I'm thinking of Bob because John Allbaugh's t-shirt. If you haven't seen that, make sure you get the... Maybe you can get your picture taken with it. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5, 19 to 21. To wit, what's it say? That God was in Christ. See that? God was manifest in the flesh. God was in Christ. Jesus was God in human form. That God was in Christ. Why? Read that with me. Reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And then... that he goes on to say, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Read verse 21 with me. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He never knew what it was like to sin. Oh, we know all too well. And that's why we need a Savior.
Amen.
And we need a Savior who isn't a sinful man like you and I. We needed God to come as a man. How many of you heard and people say, well, I believe the substitutionary atonement teaching that Jesus died in our place for our sins, it's immoral. You heard that? A lot of the seminarians that teach that, a lot of the pulpits, you'll hear that talk. Well, that's because, first of all, they start out with only a mortal man as Jesus. Their Jesus isn't God in human form. So for God to have a man killed in your place like that, it would be immoral. How many heard me say this? You start wrong, you end wrong.
Yep.
But if you got the right Jesus, the one who says God is in Christ... if you got the right Jesus, who is God manifest in the flesh, then you've got a Jesus who is not a man in the small m. He's man, capital M. He is the God-man, is the way a lot of people call it, the incarnation, the God-man. And He then, willingly, He says in His own words, I have come to give My life for sinners. And the Father... is giving His Son, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He gave His Son, and His Son willingly came. There's nothing immoral about it. It's the most beautiful act of love in history. No greater act of love in history. Jesus never committed any act of sin. He didn't have a sin nature. His body was pure, his flesh was pure, and he never committed any act of sin. His actions were perfectly good. Everything you see Jesus do, you can count on one thing. It was the right thing. We may not even understand it. You know, Matthew 23, he kind of gets real nasty with those Pharisees. It was the right thing. How many of you remember where he took a whip and drove the money changers out? A violent thing. How many of you read Revelation 19 and what's going to happen when he returns? See, the fictitious Jesus that people make up in their own minds in their own image, my Jesus would never. Well, your Jesus is a devil. My Jesus did and is gonna, and it's right. He's good. Doug?
Could you ever imagine being the brothers of Jesus and Mary saying, "Would you be more like Jesus?"
No, you know, that's... Yeah, I don't know that Mary ever actually did that. But that's a good point, because you know, the brothers of Jesus were not believers until after the resurrection. And so that's a good point. You know, you imagine being Jesus' brothers and sisters. I'll just throw this in free of charge. I think that's got something to do with why we don't know what happened to Joseph. What happened to Joseph? The Bible never says when he died, but he wasn't mentioned anywhere in the ministry of Christ, except for, isn't he the carpenter's son? You know, they knew who his dad was, and we know that was by adoption, but we don't know what happened to Joseph. I think this is Gregology, but I look forward to getting up there and finding out, and I'm pretty sure we'll see Joseph.
Amen.
What happened? That's an interesting thing. There's a number of people. Esther, Jenny and I were talking about yesterday. Esther, what happened with Esther? After the good news and everything worked out, great, at the end of the book of Esther. But you know, according to history, Ahasuerus was murdered by his own son. What happened with Esther? Was she already dead when that happened? Or what happened to her? See, there are many good reasons to go to heaven, and that's one of them. I want to get all these good questions answered. Amen? Jesus is good because Jesus is God.
Amen.
I mean, that's the bottom line. Luke 18:19. Go back to our text. And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? I'll tell you why." He says, "None is good save one, that is God. That's why we call you good, Jesus. We call you good because we know you are God. And you came down." You think about what he left behind and what he came down here and put up with for 33 and a half years, not just the 3 years where he's in ministry. He was all those 30 years beforehand what he had to put up with. And he put up with it. And he ended up to the point where he's letting men, sinful men that he was dying for, spitting on him and beating him and nailing him to a cross and mocking him. I will tell you right now, I would have found it very hard, especially if I had the power to do so, not to knock them all dead. Because I'm not good. I'm not good. I got to fight it. I got a sinful nature, and man, I'm not good. I'm not God. Thank God for Jesus. Because he didn't blow it. He kept his cool. And it's that supernatural deity that he held, but also he knew the end. And see, that's where you and I have to be immersed in this book and really fill our minds and hearts with this book, because we also can know the end.
Amen.
Amen. Do you want to say?
You said earlier about good maps and you wondered what the other Bible said. I looked in like ESV, RSV, Message, Amplified. They all said good teacher.
Teacher.
Most of them did capitalize the G and the T. One of them didn't capitalize.
So, and I'll tell you, the problem with the teacher thing is because there was a difference. There were some who were considered master teachers. Like today, we say you have a master's degree. Mm-hmm. Similar to that. So it's belittling, again, Christ by calling him just good teacher.
Yeah.
when he was called good master for a reason. So by contrast, if you deny that Jesus is God, then you're calling him a liar or worse. I think it's credited to C.S. Lewis. I don't know if he was the first to say it, but he said, don't give me this about Jesus being a good man and a good teacher and a good moral man and all that, because if he was not God, he was the most wicked man to ever live.
Wow. Yep.
And you know that's true. Any man who would present himself as God, as the only Savior of the world, as the risen Savior, and not be, it would be the worst fraud in human history. Yeah. But think of all the people who will stand in pulpits and call themselves Christian and deny that he's God, but then talk about how good he is. The Jewish leaders knew exactly what Jesus was saying. John 5:18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, that was they were accusing him of, but all, said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. They knew what he was saying. That's why they wanted to kill him. Jesus said this about himself in John 8:58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Go back to Exodus 3 and where are the different references there? 6, where God that is speaking to Moses says the same thing about himself. Moses was talking to the pre-incarnate Jesus. And then John 10:30, I and my Father are one. Not the same, but one. Because the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. They're not three gods, but one God in three persons.
Amen.
Scripture says this about Jesus. Isaiah 9:6 prophesied, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And then it says, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. And John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Colossians 1:14-15, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God. Let this mind be in you. This is Philippians 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Where did we read that about being equal with God just a minute ago? That's why they were going to kill him. The Pharisees were going to kill him because he was making himself equal with God. Look that up in your new versions. They've totally destroyed that. They said that it's not something to be grasped, which is the opposite of what it is. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God because he is God in human form. Hebrews 1:8, I was able to share this with a Jehovah's Witness once, and his Bible, I don't know about now, but the New World Translation had not perverted this. And so while we were talking, and he was denying the deity of Christ, sincerely, he really believed what the Watchtower taught. And I said, well, what's your Bible say in Hebrews 1:8? But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God. That's the Father speaking to the Son. The Father calling the Son, O God. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The young guy who was a Jehovah's Witness named Dan, I prayed for him many times over the years, he was stunned. The older guy, the elder, said, it's time to go.
Yeah.
And never came back. So we want to get back to where we started. A sinner cannot be saved and will not be saved until Jesus is received as the sinless Son of God.
Amen.
If you're going to talk to people about being saved, start with Jesus. Make sure that they are clear on who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. Then go to their condition of being lost. And then present the simplicity of the gospel, that Jesus shed his blood, died on the cross and paid for your sins and the sins of the whole world. And that he was buried and that he rose again after 3 days. According to the Scripture, he paid for sin, he conquered sin. And now if you will believe this, at that moment you're saved.
Amen.
You want to pray? You should. After they're saved.
Amen.
That prayer doesn't save them. Belief in the gospel saves them. And then once they are clear on the gospel and they have believed, pray with them and then encourage them to just start telling everybody. You don't need a college degree. You don't have to get a certificate program or anything. All you, as soon as you're saved, you become a soul winner. All you have to do is explain to them that Jesus is the God of heaven in human form who came to pay for the sins of the whole world. He died, was buried, and rose again. You do that, you've done it. That's all. He's made it so simple that a newborn babe in Christ can turn around and start preaching the gospel. They have other questions? Be humble. If you don't know the answer, I'm going to write that down. Let's meet again. Let's talk again. Go home, pray about it. Read your Bible. Talk to the elders. Get your answer. And go back. It's that simple. The hard thing these days is finding somebody interested. Amen? That really is. So our next study, Jesus will demonstrate that man is not intrinsically or practically good in the perfect sense that God is. Let's sing about Jesus. 452, My Savior's Love.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned and clean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be.
How marvelous, how wonderful, and summer means lots of outdoor fun and vacation trips for most of our listeners. We just want to remind you to be a witness everywhere you go and never take a vacation from the Lord and His Word. Listen to Bible Believers Fellowship even as you travel by going to bbfohio.com and click the banner link to BBF Ohio Radio. Anytime, day or night, 7 days a week at bbfohio.com. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20, verse 21, King James Bible.